Hello, everyone, and welcome to Show Hoppers. Today we are covering The Regime, Season 1, Episode 2, The Foundling. I am Mr. Sal, a high school science teacher, watching The Regime for the first time because it is new on HBO and Max, and I'm doing so with my co-host and former student, Kurt, who is a little bit under the weather, and I have a recommendation for you, Kurt. Have you yet unlocked the healing power of potato steam?
Man, you know, this episode gives me a great idea. If I boil a bunch of potatoes.
Yeah, there you go.
I'll just feel better. I guess potato, you know what? You know how like a hospital or medical places, you know, they smell like...
Yeah, bleach.
I guess isopropyl or, yeah, like bleach. You can kind of smell the medicinal or the cleanse, yes, or the disinfectant all around.
Yes.
You know, potatoes, I could see potatoes giving that vibe.
Okay.
So, yeah.
You might also chomp on some black radish. That might help too.
Is that a real thing? I guess radishes exist.
So I don't know.
Why can't there be black radishes?
I have no idea. Anyway, Kurt, you know what? I want you to sit back. I want you to relax. I know you're not feeling very well. So don't worry about it. Don't do anything. I'll do it all.
All right. I'll take that. You're seeing a lot of quotes now. It concerns me for the who said it.
It should concern you, actually.
Why are you even laughing?
Oh, because you're gonna hate it.
You know what? Why is the who said it part become like the flashpoint for our... I don't know. It's not hatred. We don't hate each other. Pettiness. Pettiness towards each other.
Yeah, it really has. Yeah.
It's become petty corner.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's because it's like the one place in the podcast where we can try to trip each other up.
Why?
Otherwise, we don't.
Why do we then?
It's
a fallacy of people right there. Like, we don't have to. It could just be a segment where we, it's just a fun little contest, but it's turned into... we'll see what it turns into today. I know you've teased me in some way of what it's going to be, but...
I mean, I'm going to go ahead and blame you.
Okay, that's fine. We'll wait and see. All right.
That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to blame you because of that one quote in Shrinking. That's when I decided to make it a competition instead of just a fun game.
It's no longer fun games anymore. Listeners might think we spend, you know, the week for each episode watching it, putting notes on it. That's probably about 20% of the effort. 80% goes into who said it for each of us, prepping to how we can make each other's lives worse.
Okay. All right, Kurt, let's figure out how we rated this episode.
Ratings.
I think you gave the first episode a 9, but you said you wanted it to not be as funny going forward.
I'm going to say this right now to help you out. I'm reverting last episode's rating to an 8.
All right. Why? Because of this episode?
I'm not elaborating.
All right, fine. All right. I remember you saying, though, that one of the things you were looking for was for it to not be as funny going forward. And I think maybe this episode was a little too funny for you, but we'll see. So I don't think you gave it a 10. But I do think you really loved the holding company. I think you loved these secret meetings between the three cabinet members and Nikki. You might have even voted for Nikki for your favorite character in the TV time in this episode. So I think you really liked that. I think you enjoyed the stuff with the senator from the United States. I think you liked seeing Elena be a little more, I don't know, healthy, confident, just not as fragile in this episode. So I do think you enjoyed it. And having heard now that you've given the episode 1 an 8 out of 10, I think you like this one more. Let's say you give it a 9.
Well, can I ask what you gave the first episode rating again? 7 or 8?
8.
8. Okay, so you gave the first episode an 8. You definitely like the political maneuvering more in this episode. It feels like there's more of that. Again, you mentioned the senator. I'll throw in there I think he's a billionaire, but the richest person in the country. And
yep.
I guess her revenge back at him. You are also probably happy to see that Herbert seems to be her devout right-hand man, which is what you were hoping for. You did not want this to become Herbert becomes the leader. And I mean, there's still four more episodes where that can become the case, but that isn't right now. That's not what the story's telling. So you like to see that. So I'll say this: you like it more than the first episode, but I don't know where you really rate the episode.
You better figure it out.
I'll say you gave it a 9. I'll give an unconfident 9.
Okay. All right. I think that this episode was orders of magnitude better than the first episode. I actually loved this episode. I gave it a 10. I loved it.
Really? You loved it? Okay.
I loved this episode.
This is really funny to me. Okay. Can you explain why you gave it a 10 episode 1? I
mean, first of all, I think I was mostly jarred by episode 1. Like, what is this that I'm watching? Like, this is not what I signed up for. But having seen episode 1 and being kind of prepped for the humor, I thought this was hilarious. I really thought it was funny. But then on top of that, I thought it was really tense. Like, I was terrified for the senator and for the rich guy. I was at some point expecting physical harm to come to either one of them. Like, I thought it was really, really terrifying. I was thrilled to see that Herbert is seemingly just a devoted number two, maybe even like a co-leader. Like, I can live with co-leader. Co-leader is fine. Like, if these two like end up, I don't know, taking Nikki out somehow and getting married, that's I can live with that. Like, if they together become the regime, I like that idea. I don't like the idea of him supplanting her, because he's just too drawn to her gravitational pull for me to buy any violence toward her or any ill will toward her. So I like the whole you heard me, didn't you? Like, they can like speak telepathically now.
Yeah they have dreams, they can speak telepathically.
I do think it's a bit lacking in emotion, any kind of emotional charge for me, but it makes up for the lack of emotion in its humor and its cleverness, because I think there's a lot of cleverness in this episode as well that I really enjoyed. I ate this episode right up. Like a black radish.
I don't know if black radish is right up.
Well, speaking of the black radish, I think the Agnes stuff is pretty interesting too. This is her son. Oscar's her son. And she is sneaking him epilepsy pills because Elena has taken this guy who's a soldier and who knows what before being a soldier, maybe nothing, and turned him into the head of health and safety, and he's an expert in herbal remedies, apparently.
Yeah, because the accursed Western medication. I love Nicholas's comment on it, like, you know, some chemo.
Aspirin. Right. Yeah, exactly. That stuff I thought was great. I really liked the holding firm too. I thought it was really funny seeing them kind of meet in secret in this club that's like. This Nikki is repulsed by, but the rest of them are like, it's okay. But anyway, I love this episode. I'm assuming because you lowered your first episode down to an 8 that you don't like this episode as much. I should have probably guessed at best an 8 out of 10 for you instead of a 9 out of 10.
Are you changing?
I'm assuming. Yeah, I'm going to change to an 8 out of 10.
Oh, well, you should have kept it. I gave it a 9.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, I'll tell you why I didn't give it a 10. First up, it didn't wow me. There are some scenes that I consider better than the other ones, but none of them were that amazing. I guess your emotional response was none of them wowed me. I'll leave it there because I'm not gonna play my hand as to what I might have picked for my favorite scene.
Okay. We'll
talk about that in another segment.
Okay,
I agree. It's less goofy of an episode. There's still comedy in it, but it feels less goofy. And I think I'm also giving, I like, there's political wheelings and dealings here, right? We see the characters talking.
Yes, I like that a lot.
We didn't get a lot of that in episode 1. There's some, not really a lot, though. I mean, 2 end up getting sacked. That's about a totality of the political machinations.
Yes.
There's enough here, and I think it's going to get added upon with the following episodes. It'll be pretty good intrigue. So I enjoyed that aspect, and I think I'm giving Elena more credit. I think in episode 1, I saw her too much as incompetent. And she's you know, I don't think I think she's incompetent still in some ways, but she knows what she's doing, and especially when she's dealing with other parties and negotiations, right? She's very deliberate, yeah, in what she says, and she understands how she portrays herself. It matters a lot to her. So she knows what she wants and goes for it.
Did you watch the vignettes afterwards? This time
I saw the next time.
Come on. All right. Well, one of the things that Kate Winslet, the actress who plays Elena, said was that she recognizes that Elena is maybe not the most politically savvy person, but where she is excellent, where she does excel, is in being able to suss out a liar, like being able to see through the BS and recognize that when someone who claims to have inclusivity in mind actually does not and is only after power. And so that does play out, I think, very well in this episode.
It does.
So, and I think that you're probably right, and I should have mentioned that probably is the big difference for me between episode one and episode two. She was ridiculous in episode one. She says, "I am not ridiculous to him," right? But yeah, she really was. And I didn't think she was ridiculous in this episode. Yeah, she's buying into the, you know, whatever country remedies Herbert is selling her. But I don't think he's insincere. I think he believes it too. And I think she believes it. And I don't think there was really anything wrong with her to begin with. So she's feeling better because there wasn't really anything wrong with her in the first place. Right. And it is much more interesting seeing her with this kind of life to her and this energy than it was in episode one, seeing her as, you know, kind of a hypochondriac.
And for a political drama, it's an interesting perspective. I think almost anything I've seen has been just the U.S. government internally.
Right.
And you're dealing within your own country. This is a lot more foreign policy, and it's kind of, you know, like a small dictatorship that it's an interesting perspective on it. So I like the change up of it.
Yeah, I really loved this episode. I mean, we had talked all week last week about maybe even hopping off this show because we were just not so high on the episode one. But I'm really glad that we stuck it out at least for this one, because this, and Hugh Grant hasn't even appeared yet.
I know. I was thinking about that. I thought we would maybe, I think last week I said we might see him this episode because it's called The Foundling. Yeah. If not, so I don't know where Hugh Grant is.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, well, so I said that wrong last week. I said that this episode was going to be called The Founding, not The Foundling. So I think.
No, I don't know, in your defense, IMDb says The Founding.
That's okay. There you go. I appreciate that. That's great. So. There you go. That's why I had it wrong. But this episode was clearly titled The Foundling, and I'm glad it was, because this was great. Fantastic. All right, Kurt, let's guess our favorite scenes.
Favorite scenes.
Now, you've been very couched in your statements, very hedgy. I don't think I think you're deliberately trying not to give anything away. You already said as much, actually, so there's no thought to that. I'm not quite sure where to go with this. I really, when I first watched this, I really thought that you were going to be obsessed with the holding company, and you didn't mention them really at all. So I'm going to stick with that, that you are going to go with the holding company's first meeting in the club.
You know what they call me? Call me Coy Kurt.
Coy Kurt, is that what they call you?
That's what I call myself.
I thought they called you the raccoon.
The raccoon. what was your favorite scene then? I mean, you gave it a 10. We talked about, and I think you concurred that this might be a big difference for you between episode one and episode two, which is Elena's skills. You talked. Yeah. Wow, they highlighted this scene. I think you went with Elena speaking with the senator. I don't know how much of that scene you want to incorporate, but I'm going to go because they cut to, is it Agnes bugging the room?
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, they cut to her for a few seconds. I can almost count that cut as part of the scene, but certainly not the tour. I think the tour is a separate scene.
Okay. Well, in that case, the tour for you is your favorite scene.
Okay.
That's what I will say then.
So we agree then that everything at the table, including the stuff with Agnes in his room, is one scene, and then the tour is another scene.
Sure. Yeah.
All right. All right. Good. Okay. By the way, before I reveal my favorite scene and you reveal yours, I've been questioning the leopards, right? Because the poster is covered in leopards, right? Have you noticed that the symbol on the flag is a leopard?
No, I have not. That the
okay, the symbol on the flag is a leopard, and so I'm guessing that's the symbol of either the country or the political party that her father founded. That's why she made the joke about a leopard changing his spots in episode one. But anyway. That has nothing to do with any okay. favorite scene stuff.
All right. So,
except that my favorite scene did have the leopard flag prominently featured. It was the scene before the tour at the table. So you were very close.
That is also my favorite scene.
Oh, is it? Okay. Yes, yes. All right. It's so good, man. It's really, really good.
I mean, the senator is traditionally like a politician. They're speaking, you know, in a way you'd expect a politician to speak. You know, they're being kind with the words. She keeps circling back on what she wants. Yeah, she's not committing to anything really that she doesn't have to, or she hasn't really pre-discussed. Like when the corridor is brought up, she goes, "Hey, we'd have to talk about that in the future, but maybe." Good chance of maybe. But how about you take the cobalt deal? Let's get that through.
Yeah, I mean it's interesting. So this is what one of the scenes that was featured in the vignette was when Kate Winslet was talking about her ability to see through the BS and suss out a liar who only has power in mind, not inclusivity. And she's talking about the senator here, which is very true. So much like nuance in this scene that I really loved. So behind the senator, there are two American flags with the flag of this country in between and a flag of this country on each end. So they're kind of the American flag is kind of sandwiched there between the flags of this country. On behind Elena, there are just five flags of this country. So it's just like the representation of eight flags from this country versus two from the United States was really interesting. And the fact that it was trapped, the American flags were trapped between the flags of this country. That was pretty cool. So the imagery. So there's a, I don't know what kind of, I guess a language technique. It's not really language though. It's like a social interaction technique that we learned about. We had a book study on the seven habits of highly effective people in school, right? You're familiar with it, right?
I've heard of it.
Well, you know, but you know, we've been doing this in school,
yes.
Right?
Yes, okay. Yes,
so,
yes.
Yeah. So one of the things in one of the trainings that we had that they talked about was recognizing when someone is escalating or trying to emote, and the way that you can talk to them to get them to talk, open up a little bit more without being confrontational. And it's just basically to repeat back the thing that they said. So it's like you're like if my kids came to me and said, you know, "Dad, I'm so mad. Why did you do that?" And I'd say something like, I hear that you're mad. Talk about that." You know what I mean? So but Elena does it in this scene, and it's pretty cool because to me, every time somebody does that, I see it as like patronizing. Now that I know
what the tactic is.
Now that I know that it's a tactic, I'm like, "Oh, you know what? F that person." So it's and now listeners, maybe you know this now too. So but anyway, with Elena, it was pretty clear to me. So that was pretty cool. The other thing I wanted to just mention about this scene is that the senator is played by Martha Plimpton, who I really like Martha Plimpton a lot. She was the first time I ever saw her. For most people, the first time you've ever seen Martha Plimpton is in Goonies. Have you ever seen Goonies?
I have not.
Do you know Goonies?
All I know from it is that there's something called the Truffle Shuffle.
There's the Truffle Shuffle.
That's all I know.
That's the one thing. Okay. So, but anyway, Goonies is a I mean, I think a fantastic movie from my childhood, from the mid 80s. And she, it was one of the kids in Goonies. So that's the first thing I saw her in. But I've seen Martha Plimpton on Broadway in a 3-person show. So it was her and 2 other people. And she killed it. And I was like, oh, she's actually really good. So I was really excited to see Martha Plimpton playing this role, and it was very cool to see. Kate Winslet afterwards said that she's one of her acting heroes, so it was really exciting for her to be in a scene with her. But this is the type of scene that I was expecting and hoping for when we picked this series.
Me too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
that's why I we get this, and it's about what, like halfway through the episode.
Yep.
maybe a little yeah, on the other end of that, and. Yep. Yeah, I agree. I was very excited. I'm like, oh, Elena's killing it here. This is actual negotiations. And then the scene that follows, since we're counting it as a separate scene, is
the tour, you mean?
The tour.
It is. The tour is great, too.
Well, actually, even before the tour, she starts to intimidate the diplomat.
Absolutely. Herbert. So, I mean, when she first walks in the room, I like this Kingfisher blue. We'll try not to get blood on it. Like, that's, and she's, you know, joking. But is she? It's meant to intimidate, not just for humor, right? So I love it, but she's so good at making people uncomfortable. So she makes that comment, which makes you uncomfortable. She's in this giant room with this giant table, and she seats Senator Holt all the way at the end of this giant table, which is more discomfort, right? Her responses are like one word. She says right like twice. It's like the only response Holt gets is right. You know what I mean? So it's just amassing discomfort upon discomfort. And then finally, when she telepathically speaks to Herbert and tells him to go over and just stand by her, and she can't get her sentences straight then, right? Once he goes over there, she says, hi.
Yeah, she's too scared. She's intimidated. And then
and she can't put together a coherent thought after that. It's very cool. It's really interesting. I loved all the sidelong looks at Herbert. I loved, when she's got everything she wanted, like access to the president, a NATO invitation, help with getting into the EU, all this stuff. It's all like what she's been dreaming of for her country. And she's looks like she's ready to take the deal. And she looks at Herbert before she does anything. And then she turns and then, no, we're not taking that deal. Right. It's interesting to watch Herbert throughout this scene because he looks like he's watching a tennis match. He doesn't say much or do much, but there are some close-up shots of him. And the only thing that happens in those close-up shots is he shifts his eyes from one of them to the other. And it's really cool. It looks like he's watching a tennis match. I don't know. This scene alone was enough for me to give this episode a 10. I really love this scene.
I enjoyed the scene. I don't know if it was enough for me to give this episode a 10. It's what I'd like to see from this series.
Yeah,
and exactly. They did do more of it in this episode. Like you talked about the company, I call them the mischievous trio. Actually, the tricky trio. That's a better one.
The trio plus Nikki, or is that the quartet?
Well, Nikki comes to meet the trio. I think the trio works with, you know, they're meeting with Nikki, but I don't know if Nikki's really part of the trio. I mean, then that's a quartet, but
gotcha. So the other thing that comes out of this scene that we should mention is that she's very interested in reunifying the Fabian corridor, right? So I don't know what happened there. Maybe that's where the Hugh Grant's character is now the leader of.
Oh, maybe.
You know, I don't know. But they appear to have been part of this country and no longer are, and she wants to reunify. So I don't know. We'll see. But anyway, this is a great scene. Intermixed with this, Agnes puts a camera in Herbert's quarters and looks around, and she finds Elena's hair, nail clippings, and a lipstick-stained napkin. So, and the telephone cord just severed from the telephone itself. Yeah. So anyway, that's our favorite scene. I'm glad you picked it, because I'm glad I was wrong, because this, I think, is the best scene in the episode.
I concur.
Best scene in the series so far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah. Thank you.
All right, Kurt, the time has come. Are you ready to play Who Said It?
I guess.
Who said it?
All right. All right. Well, Kurt, we've talked about it before. We've talked about inflation. Before this episode, I said I've tried to get 5 quotes because we did 4 last week. Usually we do 3. I did get 5 quotes, Kurt. Yeah. You got 5.
Five quotes. Okay.
5 quotes. You know, my students would be happy about that. They want more questions on a test because...
Stop. All right. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Sure.
Okay. All right. Fine. Well, here you go.
I think 3 is the perfect amount, though. Surely your students would complain if you gave a 1,000 question quiz.
Probably.
Yeah. So I think 5 is too many. I think 3 is just right.
What if I tell you that this first one is a complete layup for you?
I would be terrified.
Good, perfect. This first one is a complete layup for you.
Okay. Hit me with it.
One might argue aspirin and chemo occasionally.
Oh, yes.
Told you it was a layup.
This is Nicholas to... this is near the very beginning of the episode, right before the intro sequence. Nicholas to Elena. Oh, and more Herbert when he's... mustarding up his wife.
The mustard was so funny. I thought that was hilarious. I was rolling in my chair watching him mustard her up, and she's going,
I just know why she's making the noise. Yeah.
Slap me up like a sandwich, she says. Oh my God.
The mustard rub was kind of funny. She did have like a spleen issue or something.
Yes, so that is, you got it, spot on. Mr. Laskin, who's one of the trio, what did you call them?
The tricky trio,
one of the tricky trio, tells Elena that she's at 75% approval. Can you imagine a country leader at 75% approval?
Normally you only get that after like a major incident.
And honestly, like, it doesn't happen much in our country. I think it happens more in countries that are a little more dictatorial, maybe.
I have no idea.
I don't think they care about approval ratings. They probably don't measure it. Anyway, they make up the results. Anyway, 75% approval sounds like amazing to me. But anyway, there are jitters, though, in the private sector. And Elena and Herbert discuss their dreams right in front of Nikki. Like, no pretense at all. Just, we had fun last night, didn't we? Oh, yes, we did. And those horses. Oh, yes, the horses. What will we do tonight? Whatever we want. Yes, we will. And Nikki is just like crawling in his skin. But he also slathers her up with the mustard, and it's great fun. All right. So, ready for number 2?
Yes.
This is harder, but I have confidence in you. You will clean the mess you have made.
Huh, you will clean the mess you have made. Oh,
yes.
Okay. Wow, I'm actually surprised. Well, you know what? You said this one was easy, so now you made. Now I can't say I'm surprised I got it.
I didn't say this one was easy.
All right, okay. So then I'm surprised I got it, but I think I know which one this is. This is...
Okay.
I'm just looking. Emil Bartos. He's not saying it. Elena says it to him when she brings him in to be, I guess, chastised in front of the entirety of the nation and the reporters. He's a terrible employer. He's done bribes, unpaid workers. He must apologize to the people, and then he's to clean up his mess, starting with these chairs.
That's right. Starting with these chairs. That's right. Yes. She also like lets Luce sent his sentiments that she bowed down to the Americans in this scene, right?
Oh, you're right. Yes.
Yeah. So he had in a prior scene, he had said, you don't have to bend the knee, but you do have to play their game. And so she basically outs him as an America lover, which, remember, spewing venom toward America is why she has a 75% approval rating right now. Mm-hmm. So if she can out him as an America lover here, that probably raises her approval rating even more and basically dooms this guy.
It does. And he also comes up as very unauthentic in this scene.
Absolutely.
Right? He's like, oh, yes, I'll apologize. Of course.
Of course. Apologies. I can only say that I am deeply sorry. So, yeah.
He's like character Charlize.
Yeah, I know.
Authentic. I thought it was pretty funny, actually. So
Yes, it was pretty funny. But yeah, so, and she, you know, she has sabotaged him with... Not sabotaged, like just surprised him. What's a word for surprise that I'm looking for? whatever, surprised him with lights, cameras, action, all these reporters here. And she doesn't like give him, she doesn't tell him what he's there for, why she's doing this. She says, you talk to me about the problem. Like, you go ahead and hang yourself.
Yeah, here's the rope here.
Yeah, she's so good. Like, this is a different Elena than episode one, and she's so good. Oh my goodness, Kate Winslet. I love Kate Winslet. She is one of my favorites.
She's good at portraying herself in front of her nation or others, right? She understands what she's giving off.
And yeah.
Plus, you know, when you think back to episode one, the scene where she hits Herbert and says how he made her look ridiculous. And, yes. You know, showcase she knows what she's giving off with the appearance. And it matters a lot to her.
It's true. That's true. Okay, you are 2 for 2. See, and you were worried.
No, still 3 more for me to trip up on.
There are still 3 more. Okay, number 3. Blur your vision, breathe through your mouth. How else does one get through life?
Oh, I remember this. And I thought it was funny. But wait, who said it? It's definitely someone in the trio, but I'm thinking of who and to whom in the context.
I mean, do you know their names?
I have them. Some more here. There is there's singer Schiff, and then Schiff. Mr.
Laskin.
Okay, mm-hmm. Can you say it one more time?
Sure, I'll say it one more time. Blur your vision, breathe through your mouth. How else does one get through life?
Okay, this is at like the club where the trio and Nicholas have been meeting.
Yeah. Okay.
I want to say it is singer to Nick, and it's do you want more or is that?
No, you're good. That's okay. Yeah, you got it. Yeah, 3 for 3, Kurt. Kurt, you're on fire. See, this is the other reason why I do this, because how good are you feeling right now? You're feeling so good.
No, I'm just terrified every step of the way that I'm going to trip up.
Oh, man.
Well, so
remember, you said your nightmare was 8. I haven't gotten there yet.
Did I say why do you remember that? My nightmare is 5 now. I don't know.
All right. Well, so this is in the club. You know, Nikki comes in and he's like, this place is disgusting. And Singer, same guy, says, I find it quaintly venereal. Quaintly venereal. Oh, my God. Anyway, they're meeting. This is the holding company. That's what they call themselves. You call them the Tricky Trio, but they are the holding company. I don't know really what that means. Do you know what holding companies are?
I think they hold other companies, like a conglomerate. That's what I'm imagining.
I would imagine. Anyway, so this is the holding company. Nikki is there to meet them, and they're losing. They've been losing Elena's ear since her father died. And they show Nikki some dirt on Zubak, because that's what Nikki's interested in. And he wants to discredit Zubak somehow in Elena's eyes so that he falls out of favor with Elena, because he feels the control slipping away. Like, the holding company is losing control. He's losing control. Elena is going rogue with this guy, and he needs dirt on him that will be impactful for Elena, not for the general public. He doesn't care about that.
Because the people.
Not what I meant, but yes, probably that too. But you know, they show him Zubak had beaten up his mother, and that's not what he's looking for, because while that might impact the people, it will not impact Elena, apparently. So anyway, he did beat up his mother at age 14, and he fired first at Site 5. So he wasn't just one of the Site 5 butchers, he was the initial butcher.
So and I, now this is not at all, how do I word this? I don't know why I think, I can explain why I think of this. And I understand that these are pretty unrelated events, but this makes me think of, you know, the shot heard around the world. Of course, you know.
Yes, right? I do.
It's famous.
Lexington and Concord.
Yes.
But which one? I don't know.
Yeah, who knows? But somewhere there in that Massachusetts, New Hampshire crater area, something like that. Is no one knows who shot first, the Americans or the British. And there's no real historical account for that. And whenever there's moments like this, and this is not the first and only time where it's questioned who shot first, or I guess who started a scuffle. But
yeah,
I wonder. I know, just interesting thought. That's about it. Actually, I'll leave it there.
All right.
It makes me think of the shot heard around the world, and imagine if we knew who did it. In this instance, we kind of do, but this is nothing like the shot heard around the world, and that is Kurt's diatribe. Thank you.
There you go. Fantastic. Dynamite. Very good. Okay, Kurt, you've gotten the two
five
easy ones, and the one that I thought was kind of middle of the road. You got two kind of hard ones coming up. I'll warn you in advance.
Okay, thank
you. All right. Because I don't want to freak you out and tell you these are easy, because these are not easy.
I appreciate that.
Okay. Here is number four. Crunch, 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 crunch.
Yeah, okay. This is what I was scared of, which is you've given me three that you consider valid, and now you can just throw in whatever you want for the rest of the quotes.
Like, oh, no, okay. That's not true.
I know. Someone says crunch, crunch, crunch. I'm trying to remember. Ah. Someone says it in the episode. When?
I know somebody says that. I'm so sure.
Someone crunch. Crunch. If I think of the characters, definitely not the senator. Might be. I feel like that's something Herbert would say, but let me circle back on that. Elena definitely doesn't. I don't think Nikki does, or Nicholas. None of the trio, and not the rich one. Or Agnes. Oscar. Crunch, crunch. Oh, yes. See, I think I've got it now. I believe it is Herbert to Oscar when he's having him crunch up everything he must eat.
Wow. Must keep off the epilepsy. Kurt. Oh, my goodness. You got it. That's right. You were 4 for 4.
I feel like a dog now. I'm like wagging my tail. I'm liking these things.
See? Right? All right. So, yes. Herbert is he's treating Elena with mustard slapping, and she's treating the whole household with potato steam, but he's treating Elena and Oscar with black radish, and in place of, not in addition to, but in place of his epilepsy medicine. And as he gives the black radish to Oscar, he says, crunch, 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 crunch. but Elena, you know, makes it a point to point it out. That, oh, look at that. Not a single epileptic seizure since he started on this regimen, and no fancy Western pills necessary. None of those pills that Agnes is sneaking to Oscar are actually necessary.
Well, maybe it is working.
I guess. I don't know. But Agnes is still sneaking those pills. So,
we'll
never know. This is not a scientific experiment.
It's not. I'll give you that. Well, he's been taking the pills already. And by Elena's response, did he have epileptic seizures while on the medicine?
I guess you probably could assume that.
Now, I don't know if the sample size is... I mean, I don't know how long they've been Budtown or whatever this treatment is. I don't know if it's been too long. But, you know, if it keeps going, maybe the addition of the black radish at the very least helps.
Ah, I see what you're saying. It's like,
paid for by, can we call this country a name?
I think it's Central Europe. I really think that they have
called Central Europe.
Well, because I think it's more than one accent that I'm hearing here. Like Herbert has a very different accent than Elena.
That's true. Yeah. All right. Well, I'm fine with just calling it Central Europe.
Yeah,
that's fair. Well, in that case, Central Europe. I lost my train of thought now.
Brought to you by sugar beets and
yes,
black radish.
Yes, yes, thank you. Yes, this statement is brought to you by Central Europe Administration.
Yes, it's almost kind of like, you know, if you had caffeine in the morning and you had something to help absorb the caffeine
slower and more long. Yeah,
this is like what that is. You have the epilepsy pills and you have something else to supplement them, and in combination, they work very well.
This would have been a good thing to have a magic mind moment. We don't have that for this episode.
We don't have a magic mind moment for this episode, but hey, we still love magic mind. That's all we're going to say for this episode, though. So anyway, all right. So yes, you are 4 for 4, my friend. My goodness. I have saved the hardest one for last.
Okay.
Okay. Here we go. I deserve it.
I mean, initial thoughts are Elena, but... But it definitely is not Herbert. I don't think it's Agnes. It could be Nicholas. It's none of the tricky trio. What else does she punish? I deserve it. Not the senator. Oh, It might be Herbert to Agnes the morning he wakes up. That's what I'll go with.
Wow. He was the first one you eliminated and you came back to him?
I came back to him.
Wow. You're right, though. You're 5 for 5, man. Jeepers. I thought for sure you'd have trouble with this one because it sounds like Elena speaking from a position of entitlement, but this is someone speaking from a position of shame. Yeah. He is self-harming. He is beating himself. He is bloody. His shirt's bloody. Agnes brings him in the morning the sperm whale oil that he requested and questions the hole in his headboard and the blood on his shirt. I'll just kind of combine this with the previous scene where he had a very, let's call it an exciting dream about Elena from the night before there, where he also put a hole in his headboard. But she notices the blood on his shirt and she cleans his wounds and tries to convince him to stop the self-harm. But he thinks that he has to. He deserves it. So, yeah, very, very different than a position of privilege or entitlement. This is a position of shame. So
definitely.
But interesting seeing Agnes kind of take care of him, because she does say in the very first scene of the episode that she feels sorry for him. Do you remember this?
This episode or episode one?
This episode.
No, I do not. You should have done that as your quote.
I should have, because as it is, I gave you 5 quotes. You got all of them right, Kurt. You are the man.
Yeah, I went into the lion's den and I came out with the fur coat.
I like that. All right, well, speaking of that first scene, let's talk about it in the recap. Not a whole ton to cover since we've already covered 6 scenes, but we start 3 weeks after the first episode, and Elena is clearly very different. She has been enlightened as to the healing powers of the potato steam. Herbert is the new chief of palace health and safety, and the White House is alarmed. Judith Holt, the chair of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, is coming to visit, and Elena is annoyed that it's not the president or the vice president. But in this scene, this is where we see Agnes get the epilepsy pills on the sly and on the sneak, So she has snuck these epilepsy pills, and her boyfriend or whoever it is complaining about Herbert, and Agnes does kind of stick up for him a little bit and say that she feels sorry for him. She also says he's not right in the head, but
that's a whole other thing.
All right. We've already talked about the breakfast scene, so we'll and the Oscar black radish eating scene. So we'll go ahead to the meeting of the sugar beet farmers. The cabinet.
Sugar beets.
I've been calling them the cabinet, but I should call them the holding company. The holding company is worried about Herbert and the cobalt deal. And they talk about how she's just infatuated with this guy. She'll cast him aside like she did the last one.
Yeah, the last one's named Sebastian.
Sebastian, yeah. Right. Emil convinces Elena not to dynamite the supply lines, but rather, and also not to bend the knee, but at least play the game a little bit. And then there's some clapping for a tuber. Oh, I should say that Emil also equates their country to, what was it, mice or rats in a bathtub. More than 3 inches of water, more than 3 inches of water, and they're dead. So Herbert does not like that.
I mean, can they not swim?
I don't know. No. Mice? No.
Oh, rats can swim, though, right?
I don't know.
Oh, well.
Anyway.
One way to find out.
Okay. Now we are privy to a private workout session. Elena and Herbert push each other to the point of her vomiting, which is good. Flush out all the poisonous rubbish. Nikki tries to get some after nearly a year, but Lenny is out cold. You know, he's like, yeah, now that you're feeling better. I'm so glad you're feeling better, by the way. But
we're thinking,
it's been a while. What do you say? But she says nothing because she's already asleep. All right, we already talked about the first meeting of the holding company. We talked about the dream and Agnes tending the wounds the next morning. Next, we have Laskin telling Agnes that he knows about Oscar's pills. And we all do each other favors here, don't we? So this is where the camera's going to come in later. This is the favor that Agnes is doing for Laskin. So he won't blow her in on the pill front, and she'll put this camera in.
Which is some political wheeling and dealing. Now, in my ideal world, and what, like, is if this is more of a highlighted part, this is kind of like, you know, just brush aside, like, yeah, Mr. Lasek, Laskin gets Agnes to put cameras in the room. But this to me is like, you know, I think Agnes is a pretty interesting character here. She's got a lot of things getting pulled. And I feel like she's very underutilized.
Look, you don't get Andrea Riseborough in this role unless this role means something. So I think that this is a meaningful character.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
she's an Oscar nominated actress. Like, she's going to be playing important roles in this series. All right. Now, before we get to our favorite scene, we do have this little aside here where Herbert says, "Have you noticed our last few dreams have been spicier? Like, some of them very spicy?" And Elena says, "I like a bit of spice. Spice is nice." So this is getting, at least in the dreams, sexual.
It is, yeah.
So at one point in the vignettes afterwards, Kate Winslet says that these two people are obsessed with each other.
I would call that fair, yeah.
I think they are, yes. Even if it hasn't been sexual yet, and for that matter, Elena is going to have sex in this episode, but not with him. But they are obsessed with each other. I think it's pretty clear. All right, let's get to the tour. They go through the library. They call Little Alexandria. They lose Senator Holt's guy very conveniently, and they freak the hell out of Holt when they separate from her. From her guy, and when Elena ducks out,
can lock her in a room with her.
That's it, just the two of them. And he says, "You will never be in control of this place ever again. You hear me?" And he lets her out then, and she hurriedly leaves. Elena and Herbert look on. She's excited. He heard her in his head, and she wants more. Which, I mean, I like the idea of these two being able to not necessarily literally speak telepathically, but just know what the other is thinking.
Yeah, they're on the same page here.
Yeah, I like that a lot. I like I say, if this ends up like the two of them, like both ruling the country, I'm here for it. Because I'm
going back to episode one, I'm not opposed to Herbert overtaking Elena or Elena getting rid of Herbert, but that they. There's enough time for the plot to set up, develop in such a way that there's something that makes them opposed to each other. But right now, like, it wouldn't make sense right now. I agree.
No.
I'm not opposed to some other story went that way.
Yeah, I guess. We'll see how it plays out. Right now, yeah. I'm on team joint
You're rulership. Shipping them. Yeah.
I am shipping them. Not necessarily sexually or romantically. I'm just shipping them as a power couple.
Combo. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, all right, so next, speaking of romantically and sexually, she's off to Nikki, and she tells him, "Don't do anything, I'll do it all." All right, Agnes has been drugging Oscar's popsicles, but he's getting bored of them.
Yeah, you think you'd vary it up. I guess the popsicle might hide it pretty well, but like...
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know, it's crushed, turning it into a powder, you can do a lot with that.
Yeah, we've watched... Crocodile, an episode of Black Mirror, where it's the shakes, the protein shakes or the breakfast shakes or whatever. Anyway, so Elena gave him a Switch, a Nintendo Switch, and she says, "Yeah, I'll let you spoil him next time. You squeezed him out after all." It really seems like this is like both of their children. I'm thinking that this is that Elena used Agnes as a surrogate because she didn't want to go through childbirth.
Well, because she talks about she can't even have kids anymore.
Right.
That. So I think, yeah, that's exactly what I think it is. She basically has Agnes working for her prior, or maybe she's already pregnant, and goes, "All right, I want a kid. Your kid is mine, or you have a kid now."
But I think it's even more detailed than that. I think it's her egg and Nikki's sperm.
Oh, okay. So it was like,
but
in vitro, I forget what it's called.
In vitro, but, yeah. Vitro. But Agnes is the surrogate.
Okay.
In which case, they both feel like Oscar's mother.
Yeah, that's fair.
Anyway, we'll see. Maybe we'll see. I don't know. Maybe we won't. But anyway, Elena surprises Bartos next. So we already talked about that scene. We can skip ahead to the second meeting of the holding company. They recorded a little choky tuggy, but that won't do. A little choky tuggy in the boudoir. Yeah.
Because I'm a lot more innocent than what it is, but all right.
Well, I mean, he's pleasuring himself while having a telephone cord wrapped around his neck and talking to Elena, not literally, but figuratively. So, I mean, that's a choky tuggy, according to Nicholas.
Oh, did he call it that?
Yeah, he did. Oh, that's, okay, those aren't my words.
I thought you made that up. Pretty funny.
No, he says, like, oh, this is just a little choky tuggy in the boudoir. This will never do. So what Nikki tells them to find is a good story. And he tells them, I want you to accelerate his rise because then she'll get bored of him and be done with him. So they do. Schiff and Singer and Laskin greet Elena with the best story they can, that Zubak is the descendant of the first person to set foot on their land, the Foundling.
I also want to say for that scene, though, how she's allegedly like a distant relative
of Charlemagne. Yes.
Because the deity, it was in the probability or within
there's a non-zero
margin
chance
of error there.
You share the blood of Charlemagne.
Just I concur when I saw the data as well.
Exactly. So yeah, but anyway, now there's a press conference announcing Zubak as the direct descendant of the Foundling. Meanwhile, Agnes hangs a painting of a knight with Zubak's face. So he is moving up the ranks. Last episode one, he was the hygrometer operator. In this episode, he's the chief of health and safety. Looks like next episode, he's moving even higher.
He's the founding disciple, perhaps co-leader. Right. It's very much backfire for the tricky trio and Nicholas.
Well, yes and no. Like, this is what they wanted. They wanted to accelerate his rise. Mm-hmm. But what if she doesn't get bored with him? What if she doesn't? I mean, I don't know if she had a telepathic connection with Sebastian, right?
Yeah, we don't know the pitfall of Sebastian.
No, we don't. Anyway, all right, Kurt, that's it. That's all we got. That's the whole episode. So I think it's time to check the time.
Ain't no time like a TV time.
Kurt, what do you think the people rated this episode on a scale from 1 to 5?
That's a 4 or 5.
I say 5. I say they gave it a 5.
I think they gave it a 4.
They gave it a 5, 46%.
Okay.
Which is a little bit higher than episode 1, 41% in episode 1.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. They gave it a 5 on episode 1 as well.
Yeah. I am a little nervous, though, because we've got 6% of the people saying that this episode made them feel bored, and 5% of the people said that the episode made them feel confused.
That is concerning.
That is concerning. Now, I will say, you can vote for more than one thing. You can vote for more than
this
one.
This could be the same people, bored and confused.
Yeah, it could be. 5%. Could be. That's what I'm guessing. 5.5% are bored and confused. Or 5% are bored and confused. Anyway, so let's talk about the favorite character. I think you said Elena. I think the people said Elena.
I think you said Elena and the people said Elena. Wait a second. The people said Elena. You're a tricky man, Mr. Sal. You can say a lot of different things. I could see you saying Herbert to throw a spanner in the works, but I think you said Elena as well.
I did say Elena, and so did the people.
As did I. Again, she's the. I mean, and this episode showcases it more because Herbert is not like the main character like he was in a. Well, yeah, we don't follow his perspective the whole time as much as we did in episode 1.
Exactly, we do get scenes without Herbert, which that might be another reason why I liked this episode more. That's but 86% of the people said Elena. So yes.
I mean, she's the lifeblood of the series. I find it very difficult for it to not be Elena. They definitely could for an episode or something.
Oh, yeah.
She'll always be in contention.
With only 6 episodes, and, you know, it's her show. So with only 6 episodes, I have probably 5 out of 6 are going to be her. There might be one episode in there that they shift perspective and they don't really use her too much, but we'll see.
You know what it could be? It could be Hugh Grant.
It could be Hugh Grant.
Hugh Grant might be the one. Ellison, I like Hugh Grant.
So. I do too. I'm looking for. So remember last week when we talked about jumping off the series? I don't think there's any way I jump off the series. Now, I love this episode, and we haven't even seen Hugh Grant yet.
Yeah, and I mean, it's also only 4 more episodes. I know we were talking about that too. It's like, right. That's also not that long of a series.
No, it's not.
Can't just jump off. Like, no, if we watched the first 2 episodes, surely we could finish out the last 4. And now we're
easily
locked in now.
We're a third of the way through the series already.
Yeah, they're getting shorter and shorter. Listen, what I like about miniseries, that they're like quasi-movies, right? They get to the middle ground of a movie. This movie's getting longer, too. They used to always be like about an hour
and a half. Oh, my God, you're right.
On the longer end, so we're talking 2 hours. Now, on average, what I consider like probably a pretty good movie that releases is like 2 hours and like change, like 20 minutes, right? We're talking that. Mm-hmm. So I'm going over 3 hours. It's becoming not an irregular. Irregular. It's not as irregular as it used to be.
Yeah. No, you're right. It used to be movies capped out at 3 hours. If you were over 3 hours, it was like a death sentence to the box office. But nobody seems to care about that anymore. Especially not James Cameron and Martin Scorsese. They definitely don't care about it.
No, they don't care at all. It's more bang for your buck, I guess. But now.
Yeah.
So when you put it in the view of like a 3.5 hour movie, we'll see each episode's like 50 minutes long. That's like, that's still longer than 3.5 hours. But you know, that's the nice thing about a miniseries, right? It's like it's like making a really long movie. You just break it up into a miniseries.
Well, that's why you can get people like Kate Winslet to be the main character in your miniseries, right? Like, Kate Winslet, I don't know that she's done too many movies recently, but she's done a lot of miniseries recently. And it's because this is where the prestige is right now. The prestige is in miniseries.
Well, because I'm sure you get the best of both worlds. Because like with a movie, you're that character, and you can move on to do other things. If you do a TV show that has multiple seasons that runs, you're kind of tied to the character, right?
Yep.
So you might have to come back next year or however long for the production cycle.
Yep.
Miniseries that are one-off. I'm here for it's like filming a movie, I would imagine.
Yeah. Yeah, it took care of my year, basically, probably. So, yeah, but I mean, just you look at miniseries and look at the actors they get for miniseries, and it's like, wow, like this is what actors want to do, I think. And honestly, these are the stories I want to watch, because I know it's not going to be they're not going to be catering to a network to get more series, right? To get more seasons, there's going to be a definite beginning and a definite ending.
That's the biggest one for me.
Yeah, I know. And you can flesh stuff out so much better in a miniseries than you can in a movie.
It's good middle ground.
It is.
I wonder, though, I feel like this is a pretty good middle ground. Okay, so I'm saying that right now. But I wonder, similar how movies have crept up in length, that if eventually miniseries, it's like, all right, the 2-season miniseries. Like, suddenly that's the standard now. Yeah. Whatever.
Well, I mean, I think that's... I don't think it's a miniseries anymore, but I think it's reasonable for a series to say, look, we're going to tell the story. We're going to use 2 seasons to do it.
I agree.
We've already gotten the approval of the studios. Like the studio has okayed us for 2 seasons, and that's it. Like, I think that's fine. I don't know if I call it a miniseries at that point, but I think that's fine.
True.
Then you get the White Lotus.
Yeah.
The White Lotus, who nobody knows if it's a regular series or a miniseries.
What do you call it?
I don't know. I guess it's a drama, but it's an anthology series, I guess. Like American Horror Story, for example, it's another anthology series. So different from Black Mirror, which, I mean, that's an anthology series too, but every episode is independent of the others. White Lotus, a season is independent from another. There are other shows that are doing that too. I think Bridgerton, maybe.
I guess they get the benefit of the miniseries effect that we're talking about.
Bigger name,
actors and actresses.
Anyway, all right, Kurt. Well, that's all we have for this episode. Next episode is called The Hero's Banquet. So I'm assuming that Zubek is the hero here, but we'll see. But The Hero's Banquet is next episode. In the meantime, folks, please email us, showhopperspodcast@gmail.com. You know, if you watch the episode and you email – if you watch the episode on a Sunday night and you email us on Sunday night or Monday morning – we probably will get that before we record, and you might hear yourself talked about on our podcast. So showhopperspodcast@gmail.com. Please share, like, download, follow all of our content. We've got tons of stuff out there. We've already talked about the White Lotus. We've talked about Black Mirror. We've also got Chernobyl, Dexter New Blood, Bodies, Culprits. Right now we're covering Severance, season one, because we're anticipating season two. We've got tons of stuff in the back catalog. Go check that out. Give us those 5-star ratings and reviews. We appreciate that too. That really accelerates the growth of the podcast, much like Herbert Zubak's rise has been accelerated by the Tricky Trio.
That's the meteoric rise in 2 months.
That's right. All right, folks, that's all we got. What we need you to do also, though, is take care of yourself by inhaling those sweet, sweet potato vapors.
Shoe hammer some show hoppers into your day.